Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is taken from Psalm 150, verse 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness. So far the text. In Jesus, your friends, and especially the members of the family of Dr. Kramer, we have met here this morning in order to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. One good reason, incidentally, why chapel attendance on the part of the campus community ought to be most regular and faithful. But we are also here in order to take note of and to dedicate the service in memory of Dr. Fred Kramer. Members of his family, a good portion of them, have gathered and have come from some distance and have honored us with their presence this morning. And it is good and proper for us to take note of the 25 years of faithful and dedicated and good and wise service which Dr. Kramer rendered for the seminary and for his church as teacher of systematic theology, as chairman of that department, as registrar, many of these duties simultaneously, and then finally as the first dean, first academic dean of our faculty. More or less leading, I suppose, our seminary into the age of respectability academically, as far as the rest of the world was concerned, and also the institution itself. He served during the years 1951 to 1976. More than 15 years now have elapsed since the seminary was removed from Springfield. Dr. Kramer remained behind, and I realize that there's no direct remembrance for most of us of this man other than the picture which hangs in the second deck of Leahy Hall. Then, too, his death came, Dr. Kramer's death came this past summer, early part of the summer, when he obtained the final summit of the chain of achievements, etc., which characterized his life. And that was not a convenient time for a memorial service on campus. Then, in addition, various circumstances have played a role to delay further the taking note of and having a memorial service in his behalf. But it would not be fitting or proper for us to simply pass by one who had rendered such vital and faithful service to the seminary, and whose life had touched so many lives of so many students over those 25 years. So we wish to do that this morning, to take note on the basis of our text, a text which I'm sure you realize by its hearing could be used for so many other occasions, so many other times, so many other places in our experiences, but also now. Praise ye the Lord. With our colleague in mind, there are many reasons, no doubt, we could say this and express a doxology in this way, but there are at least three that I can pull out here out of scriptures. We would praise the Lord for his goodness, always with in mind the life of our colleague, for God's goodness, for God's grace, and for God's guidance. First of all, then, praise ye the Lord for God's goodness. The psalmist writes, praise him for his mighty acts, for his excellent greatness. And we well realize there are no 10-minute homily that'll ever take care of even our own personal doxology as regards the great things God has done for each one of us, as well as for the departed colleague in a lifetime. It's all summed up so beautifully and aptly by Luther in the explanation of the first article, as we well realize, I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason, and all my senses, and still preserves them, etc. Well, that was a truth which Dr. Kramer devoutly believed. And as I recall, he taught the course in God and creation for almost all his life, which zeroes in directly upon the first article, for that matter. And for that matter, he also taught it from his very first charge, his first assignment, which took him across the water to Alsace-Lorraine, where he began his ministry, and then ended it in serving Springfield Seminary. We all need, of course, to retain a due awe for the goodness of God. Personally in our lives, as a country and as a nation, as a church body, as a synod. When Joshua got to the Jordan with the Israelites, he took note of the many kindnesses and goodness of God for the past 40 years, and he gathered 12 stones and set them in the Jordan for a monument. Those of us who came back from the Holy Land tour realize it's not hard to find stones and make a monument, almost any place for that matter. He did it in order to commemorate the goodness of God. And we this day are, in a sense, expressing or erecting a monument for the 25 years of faithful service of Dr. Kramer. And you family members can add many more years than the 25 years which God gave him in the course of a long lifetime. So we praise the Lord for his goodness. But secondly, we praise him also for his grace. And we're mindful of, and should be mindful of the fact that the only reason we're gathered here is because we're Christians. We're believers in Christ's saving work. It was the very heart of his purpose, and it was the very heart of the purpose of John the Baptist, the way preparer. The only message he had, which is the one that we hear around the third Sunday in Advent, was the one, repent and believe on him, the one he points out who takes away the sins of the world. As a result of which, as Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Where the sense undoubtedly is that which Lenski points to when he says, this refers not to violence primarily done against the kingdom, but refers to the energy and the force with which the kingdom comes, and the force and energy with which faith grapples and takes hold of the Savior and the kingdom. John had no other purpose in life, yet he was the greatest of men, as Jesus points out, than to preach and proclaim that message, the message of God's grace that was for our sins and for the sins of the whole world, which are, as Paul Gerhardt puts it, countless as the sands, that he came and fully paid and atoned for every sin. In that, we have a share, each one of us. The strands of love which fastened Jesus to the cross and caused him to live his life in active obedience under God's holy will included also you and me, as included also our esteemed colleague. And now everyone, every believer, is a minister thereof to tell everyone the things that he has done. Praise ye the Lord for his grace and proclaim it to those who do not know him. So praise God for his grace as well as his goodness. Praise God finally for his guidance. The future lies before us. As we know, it's completely uncharted and unmarked. Not a one of us has been there before. We don't know it. We need help. We need guidance. For everything's unknown and untried. Best of all, we need a guide, as we would if we're going into any wilderness area, who will show us the way. One who's been there before, for whom the future is laid open as an open book. But we have such a gracious guide, such a gracious Lord. He gives a personal pledge. And by personal, I mean to emphasize that he will personally be at our side as we move into that uncharted wilderness area, as it were. And he seals that pledge by his, or with his word, and with our baptism. In that we stand, of fresh water which never runs out, as Luther points out, or with the sacrament as well. And moreover, he provides, as he promised, faithful teachers down through the centuries in his church, as he did also in our esteemed faithful colleague. So for this too, for God's guidance, we praise the Lord. To which I'd like to add just a concluding thought yet. One of the great joys of Dr. Kramer's life was the privilege he had of translating the Examen Tridentini. These last dozen years or so particularly. The examination of the Council of Trent. When the Committee for Research commissioned that translation, you have to take a look at the volumes, incidentally, to know what a mammoth task it was. When they commissioned this translation, they did so, I suppose, in part because they knew this examen was the definitive answer to the Council of Trent, the rebuttal to the Counter-Reformation. But not only that, but because it is a veritable gold mine of solid and uncomplicated, that's typical of Chemnitz, uncomplicated scriptural theology. Vos protestantes, duos habuistis, Martinos, you Protestants have two Martins. Si posterior non fuisset, if the latter, the second one, had not come. Prior non statisset, the first would not have stood or not have endured. Well, now, no doubt that that statement referring to the two Martins, Luther and Chemnitz, could be debated as to its validity, its accuracy. That was not spoken by friends, those words. That was spoken by opponents, I think by Jesuits. I'm not sure we always appreciate exactly the significance thereof, that we stand on the shoulders of these two great Martins. And if I had my druthers, it would be after those two great teachers that the two classroom buildings would have been named, if the Board of Regents had seen so fit to do so. At least people would have had no trouble pronouncing the names, as they do now. For Martin Chemnitz, the more you get acquainted with him, Theology, to do theology, was never just an intellectual academic pursuit. You know, Chemnitz was no professor of theology. He was a district president. He was the superintendent of the Brunswick district in Germany, or Braunschweig territory, territorial church. For him, theology, and he did a lot of in-service teaching for his clergy. For him, theology existed for but one purpose, and that was to serve the church. And when you say serve the church, it was exactly as for Luther. It was for the salvation of souls, not for the advancement merely of intellectual pursuit, but to serve the people where the souls are. And I think it was the same motive which characterized Dr. Kramer's great attachment to the project which he had to translate, and it is stated as a dedicatory sort of statement in the last volume that he translated, to all who love the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, he said. This was why he did the work. To all who love the truth as it is in Jesus, may there be many Lutherans out here who likewise will use these volumes of Chemnitz, as of Luther. Finally, can there be any other motive for our doing theology than the one that characterized Chemnitz, that it should serve our Lord and his church? So join me then this morning to say, praise ye the Lord for his goodness, for his grace, and for his guidance. In Christ Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.